I'm reading from Walker Percy's The Moviegoer, page 99, a scene in which Binks's mind wanders after a morning drive with Sharon. For some time now, the impression had been growing upon me that everyone is dead. It happens when I speak to people. In the middle of a sentence, it will come over me. Yes, beyond a doubt, this is death. There is little to do but groan and make an excuse and slip away as quickly as one can. At such times, it seems that the conversation is spoken by automatons who have no choice in what they say. I hear myself or someone else saying things like, "In my opinion, the Russian people are a great people, but..." Or, "Yes, what you say about the hypocrisy of the North is unquestionably true. However..." And I think to myself, "This is death." Lately, it is all I can do to carry on such everyday conversations, because my cheek has developed a tendency to twitch of its own accord. Wednesday, as I said, speaking to Eddie Lovell, I felt my eye closing in a broad wink. After the lunch conference, I run into my cousin Nell Lovell on the steps of the library, where I occasionally go to read liberal and conservative periodicals. Whenever I feel bad, I go to the library and read controversial periodicals. Though I do not know whether I am a liberal or a conservative, I am nevertheless enlivened by the hatred which one bears the other. In fact, this hatred strikes me as one of the few signs of life remaining in the world. This is another thing about the world which is upside down. All the friendly and likable people seem dead to me. Only the haters seem alive. Down I plunk myself with the Liberal Weekly at one of the massive tables, read it from cover to cover, nodding to myself whenever the writer scores a point. "Damn right, old son," I say, jerking my chair in approval. "Pour it on them." Then up and over to the rack for a conservative monthly, and down in a fresh cool chair to join the counterattack. "Oh-ho," say I, and hold fast to the chair arm. "That one did it. Eviscerated." And then out and away into the sunlight, my neck prickling with satisfaction. Nell Lovell, I was saying, spotted me, and over she comes, brandishing a book. It seems she's just finished reading a celebrated novel, which, I understand, takes a somewhat gloomy and pessimistic view of things. She is angry.
"I don't feel a bit gloomy," she cries. "Now that Mark and Lance have grown up and flown the coop, I am having the time of my life. I'm taking philosophy courses in the morning and working nights at Le Petit Theatre. Eddie and I re-examined our values and found them pretty darn enduring. To our utter amazement, we discovered that we both have the same life goal. Do you know what it is?"
"No."
"To make a contribution, however small, and leave the world just a little better off."
"That's very good," I say somewhat uneasily and shift about on the library steps. I can talk to Nell as long as I don't look at her. Looking into her eyes is an embarrassment.
"We gave the television to the kids, and last night we turned on the hi-fi and sat by the fire and read The Prophet aloud. I don't find life gloomy," she cries. "To me, books and people and things are endlessly fascinating. Don't you think so?"
"Yes." A rumble has commenced in my descending bowel, heralding a tremendous defecation. Nell goes on talking, and there is nothing to do but shift around as best one can, take care not to fart, and watch her in a general sort of way. A 40-year-old woman with a good, open American face and another 40 years left in her. And eager, above all eager, with that plaintive, lost eagerness American college women get at a certain age. I get to thinking about her and old Eddie re-examining their values. Yes, true. Values. Very good. And then I can't help wondering to myself, why does she talk as if she were dead? Another 40 years to go and dead, dead, dead.
"How's Kate?"
Nell asks. I jump and think hard, trying to escape death. To tell you the truth, I don't know.
"I'm so devoted to her. What a grand person she is."
"I am too. She is."
"Come see us, Binks."
"I will." We part, laughing and dead.